Lovely cushion header. But Gerrard! You're beautiful! What a head shot! What a head! Well, you take a tap in these circumstances. What you have seen.
Hello, Reds fans. Thank you for joining me on the LFC couch. I am Nick Koloski, and this is what I like to call Nick's Picks, where I look at our upcoming match and pick a few key matchups and look into how the game will be approached with more detail. This is episode number 217, and thank you for listening to the LFC couch. If you haven't listened to episode 215, make sure you do, as the boys Nish, George and Peter were joined by Joel Rabinowitz to discuss this upcoming match. So, just to get into things with a bit of a recap, West Ham seemed like an easy enough job, and we were cruising throughout the whole game. Maybe it could have been a 2.5 out of 5 or a 3.5 energy level match, and that was West Ham at home, who were pretty flat, in my opinion. It was a little bit nervy at the start, but once that first goal went in, it was pretty much everyone knew how the game was going to pan out. Now, in saying that, Palace away is a tough game, no matter what time of the day it is or day itself, but on a Monday night under the lights it is even harder, and even though we've won three in a row there, it's still a very unpredictable place to go to with their very vocal fans and the intense atmosphere. So I'm going to pick a few key areas of the pitch, going to try and see what will probably be the outcome, how it's going to be played out. So let's look ahead to the game. So first off, the possible lineup in this game could be with the Crystal Palace. Their lineup first up, we've got Hennessy in goal. We've got from left to right in the back line, Van Aanholt, Sacco, Tompkins, and Wan-Bissaka, who is one of their, well, maybe not overall, but for their last game against Fulham, one of their key players, apart from Wayne Hennessy himself in goals. Also from left to right in the midfield, Schlupp, Kouyaté, Milivojevic and Townsend. And up front, the two strikers, Benteke and Zaha. And for Liverpool, what could be our starting lineup would be, of course, the big Brazilian in goal, Alisson. From left to right, Robertson, Van Dijk, Gomez and Trent Alexander-Arnold. In the middle, what is predicted could be a three of Keita, Henderson and Milner. So that would be Wijnaldum dropping down to the bench for Henderson. And, of course, the front three. No surprises there. Mane on the left, Firmino down the middle, and Salah on the right. Now, in Palace's last game, their opening game of the season, they were away at Fulham, at Craven Cottage. Their manager, Roy Hodgson's old stomping ground, before he made his ill-fated stint at Liverpool. I still can't believe that actually happened. One of the worst squads we've ever had was in that reign, and then Rodgers slowly turned it around, and now we have the fantastic team that we have thanks to Jurgen Klopp. Palace, though, on average, they are a bit of a 7 out of 10 team. Got an average squad of 26, 27 years old. They are a much taller team than us, so they pretty much outweigh us in everything there. But what they don't have is the shots per game. On average, we have or two shots per goal, but they are very good in the air. So 66% aerial duel success as opposed to our 44%, and this is all thanks to WhoScored.com and SofaScore on the averages. And they do put in a lot more tackles, and they do like to dribble as well, because they do have their wingers, which I'm going to discuss soon as well. Now, the main thing in this game, I think, is going to be Wan-Bissaka versus Mane. Now, I say that for two reasons. One, Wan-Bissaka was probably their standout outfield player in that game. He had a blinder of a game against Fulham. He had, I think he had four tackles, four interceptions, and six clearances. So he's no pushover. On the contrary, Mane, in our game, he drifted inside from the left. He scored a couple of goals, one offside, but as we found out earlier on in the week, we were the unluckiest team in the Premier League last season, so I am taking everything we get and grinning in glee. So I'll take that offside goal. Countless times beat his defender for pace and skill, who was Fredericks, had a bit of a shocker, and his link-up play with Robertson and Keita on that left side went down very, very well. The other thing about Wan-Bissaka is he didn't venture forward too much. He didn't allow space in behind. So we could probably see Liverpool try and overload him, as I've heard on other pods and other people sort of describe it, how there's clusters of three or four players in one side and three or four players on the other side and a couple in the middle. So if they're focused on one side, they can easily switch to the other side, and then all the focus shifts, leaves them back open again, switching players and things like that. Mane could be looking to interplay with Keita to make some space in between, which we saw over the weekend. Although Wan-Bissaka did get a lot of help from Townsend and Tompkins to fill in that space on that right side, which sort of allowed Milivojevic to sit in between Tompkins and Sako in the defensive role. Now, that being said, he did sort of venture high up the pitch throughout that game. He was pretty much dead center in the middle. He was that linchpin between defense and attack. Although he didn't get forward a lot, he still patrolled the area, so he's another player to look out for, and he's quite dangerous on the ball as well. For me, Mane will look to get in behind Palace's defense. We know Palace, it's not hard. They may sit in and try and frustrate us. I'm sort of overusing that word, frustrate Liverpool, but we could see it happen. As I said, the overload might be there. We could see Keita running the show, trying to drag players towards him, which would leave Mane open on one side and subsequently Salah on the other. But I think this left side is where we are really going to try and do the damage. It could leave Mane one-on-one with Wan-Bissaka, or maybe even Tompkins bringing it around. Or even if it comes to, if we are going to see that sort of midfield and defense helping, we might even see Andros Townsend, although I don't think he's really much on the defensive side, but it could surprise us. We don't know these things. But in saying that, it's not going to be easy. Wan-Bissaka, he had a cracking game against Fulham. It would be tough to say that Mane will get his man every chance he gets, but if Mane is on song for this game, and if Wan-Bissaka sort of has a bit of a floundering moments early on, it could be just like Mane's game last week, and that could be a key area of the pitch. Now, with that midfield, we didn't see many problems in the last game. We did control it for large periods, and we won that game 2-1 after late Mo Magic. After Chamberlain came on, second assisted, and Robertson whipped it across into the unknown. And as George and Peter like to call or speak of a player that does this, the jack in the box, you don't know where they're going to be or what they're going to do. They're just there to surprise you. And that's what Mane was for this goal in particular. One touch, two touch goal, fantastic control. So sent the travelling cop in raptures in that game. However, there were moments where we didn't use the ball with efficiency, and we were outdone by some sloppiness, playing out for the back and some balls over the top. Now that we have Keita, who looks after the box-to-box area and the middle, he can play as the sitting DM as well, and he can also play at the point behind Firmino if he gets high up enough. Now, that depends on how Keita's game is going to be. But he does look like the player who can do that, and as we saw against West Ham, he can get around a congested area, but more importantly, he can close down the space, intercept, recover, and spark a counterattack, as we saw against West Ham for a couple of the goals in the and the attacks. In that game, we played with the midfield trio of Wijnaldum on the right, Henderson in the middle, and Milner on the left. Now, in this game, we may not get to see Fabinho just yet. So, as I said, more likely Henderson will be in place of Wijnaldum, who, for me, was outstanding against West Ham in that defensive role, sort of changing with Keita from time to time. But Milner on the right side absolutely bossed it. Keita was on the left. And because Milivojevic can pick a pass as well as McCarthy, although we may see Kouyaté playing in place of McCarthy, Benteke could be the recipient of these passes, where he may play target man, as we saw in our last game against Palace, laying off the ball into space for Zaha or Townsend to run onto and go past our fullbacks. And that's sort of how we conceded the goal from a move similar to that. It was a little ball dinked up. Benteke got the little flick on Zaha in between Gomez and Matip, who was playing in that game. And we're going to see Gomez partnering Van Dijk, so I don't think we're going to see anything like that, which I'm going to get into shortly. But that's sort of how we conceded that goal, and I think we need to stop that happening. If we can stop the little balls over the top, over the midfield, over the press, and stop any flick-ons, and just sweep up any ball we can, I think we'll be okay to sort of palm them off. Now, as Peter mentioned on the previous pod, he thinks that Virgil van Dijk will man mark Benteke, which would allow Gomez to sweep and cover the space between van Dijk and Trent, and I tend to agree, and that will help clear any balls over the top that try and get played between himself and Trent for a Zaha to run onto, or a Milivojevic if he's bombing through the middle. Andy Robbo would be trying to stop Townsend on the other side, you know, making his way into the box. But as I said, I think the main threats for us will be down our right side. So Palace very heavy attacking from that left flank, which is where Zaha and Kouyaté and also Van Aanholt like to operate. Now, we did see a little bit of, I guess you can call it a weakness, if you will. Mourinho targeted Trent with the ball over the top in our game against United, and that's how they got their two goals in that match. Again, different defensive partnership. We had Van Dijk and Lovren, and that was the notorious Van Dijk interview. Every time he does an interview and he speaks, he tends to have a bit of a bad game, but I don't think it was his fault. I think it was just, you know, United sprung an attack, but that's how they got their goals. And then shortly after, we saw the same tactic played out by Hodgson, which allowed Zaha to get the run in between Lovren and Trent. And again, that's how they won the penalty, making runs from the left flank, cutting inside down the middle with balls over the top. In this game, Palace had the ball in this area, and it was the best area of attack for them for the reasons just mentioned. And I do say that with added steel in our midfield, they may not get the same joy. However, that being said, this could be a game where Fabinho sort of could stop balls being played over the top and bring the Palace attack to a halt before it really gets started. So if he was to play, we could see a defensive shape of four at the back, two sitting in and sort of Keita at the point. So you could probably even see like a Milner and a Fabinho, or a Henderson and a Fabinho just sitting there, and then just, you know, when there is an attack, someone still sits back, the other person goes forward, or, you know, spreads out, one goes left, one goes right, sort of, you know, spreading the play on the pitch and making the pitch big. I'm no tactician, I'll leave that to Peter, but that's just my thoughts on how that really could be playing out. Now, whilst we don't have Chamberlain for this one, who second assisted our second goal, as I mentioned, we do have the power cube that is Shaqiri, and also the Studge doing his dancing again. That could come off the bench and give us some more attacking power if need be. But on the flip side, to reinforce the middle, we can use Fabinho or Wijnaldum as well. So we're equipped to take on whatever challenge is ahead. As for the goalkeeper, as I said, Hennessy had a fantastic game, pulled off multiple shots to keep out Fulham in their game last week. Alisson had next to nothing to do, but his calmness and composure on the ball helps alleviate the jitters that we would normally get with Karius, and especially with Mignolet trying to play out at the back. But if Palace are to press high, and I think they'll be silly to do so anyway, because teams know how quickly we can transition and go from defence to attack and score a goal within, you know, 10 to 15 seconds, not even. We have very capable footballers who can get out of a tight spot and have a look at scoring at the other end. Benteke will be the one Alisson needs to look out for, I reckon, especially on corners and free kicks. As I said, we don't have the tallest team, and if we are going to play with the midfield of Henderson, Milner, and Keita, we do have tall defenders in Van Dijk and Gomez, and you can probably put Firmino in there as well. He does have a bit of a clearance with his header, but Alisson really needs to be on his game for this one. He really needs to be commanding in that box, because Palace can get a little bit physical, and if they are on song in the air from free kicks and corners, he could be in for a very busy afternoon. Now, against Fulham, Sarko was the furthest back for them, and whilst he can be Bambi on ice, as Nish has pointed out multiple times, he can either have a blinder of a game, or he can go into hiding for a week. And if our three, plus the others in the middle, can get at him and Tompkins, then we should be in for some shots on Hennessy, who, as I said, was very good last week. But we really should be able to score multiple goals against this team if last week was anything to go by, even though Palace themselves was sort of counter-attacking. I think playing against a red-hot Liverpool team even though they're at home on a Monday night, I do think they may. See, this is the thing. If they start playing out a little bit more expansive, then we could see us looking to press, recover the ball, and spring a couple of counterattacks straight away. If they sit, hold back, and look for counterattacks, again, I don't think they're going to be looking for anything. I don't think the home crowd would be happy for them to sit back and just absorb pressure and try and hit us on a counterattack, which they are capable of. They are playing at home against Liverpool. I would say that their fans want to see them having a go at us, much like they did against Manchester United, who were unfortunate, Palace, to lose their game 3-2 in injury time from a Matic screamer. Now, in saying all that, Schlupp and Van Aanholt were almost next to one another against Fulham, keeping that left flank occupied. So it makes them a little bit suspect, not in a bad way, but you're sort of looking at them to see what they might be up to. They're not to be taken lightly either, because their pace and strength could have them jag some space and get in between Trent and Gomez as well, if not Zaha, if he's going to be playing out wide, sort of dragging Trent out that way. You might see a bit of space open up in the middle, in which case Van Aanholt or Schlupp can make their way through. And I do think that it's going to be the tail of the game. Milivojevic in the middle, if he's going to be with Kouyaté or MacArthur, I'm not too sure if he's injured or maybe he's just on the bench. He is also one of their danger men. He can pick a pass. And last season they had Kabay in there, but I think Kabay's age sort of has got the better of him lately. He's been playing for quite a fair few years. So Milivojevic will probably be the man to sort of spring passes around. And if you can close him down and get that midfield, then they really have no sort of outlet. But again, just that left side is going to be a little bit dangerous for my liking from Palace. And Trent Alexander-Arnold, Gomez, whether it be Milner or Keita or Henderson or whoever's going to play on that right side as well, really need to be on song and try to avoid any slip-ups or any lapses in defence. So that's all for this week's Knicks Picks. Hope you enjoyed the new concept podcast for the LFC Couch. And do follow us on Twitter at LFC Couch. Find us also on Facebook, Instagram, which you can find us as LFC Couch. And don't forget the website, lfcpodcastcouch.com. Subscribe to the podcast on your favorite podcast app. We're on Spotify. We're on Google. We are on iTunes. We're all over the place. Find us, subscribe, enjoy the weekend, and let's hope that we remain at the top of the table after round 2.